Mike.
Hello, John.
I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
And you're listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
Oh, yeah. How have you been doing? We've been away for a couple of weeks, you might have noticed.
It's been 2 weeks. What have you done on your holidays?
Not very much. You know, I've pondered the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
Pondered the human shampoo as well. Did that the wrong way around. But, you know, what have you been doing, John?
Generally, I feel like I lead quite a dull life. But in the time that we've been off air, I've had a mental breakdown. My boiler packed in. I filmed a music video and I've just finished an EP that I'm about to release.
So busy.
Quite busy.
All that in a fortnight.
A fortnight, definitely.
Yeah.
Me. But
it makes me feel like I've been rather slovenly.
Well,
I've
also been a dunderhead because when we were supposed to get together to start recording these again, I realised that was the day that Matt had booked for the video shoot.
That's Matt Tyra, formerly of this podcast.
Yes.
And also of various, too many musical projects we've even bothered trying to remember. I'm sure he'll let us know what he's doing now. Mm.
When he comes back in to join us for a podcast at
some point. When he's finished arguing with creationists on Twitter.
He's never finished arguing with creationists on
Twitter. And flat earthers and anti-vaxxers and the rest of those well-meaning but ultimately stupid people.
Chemtrails, that was the other one.
Chemtrails, Christ, yeah.
I suppose I don't need to keep it too much of a secret that when I say that the music for this podcast is done by Attack of the Vapors, Attack of the Vapors is me.
Yeah.
So, and I've been recording an EP from April to July, so that's going to be released next month.
Oh, boy. I've heard various bits and bobs of it at various stages, and I think it's quite good. I think it's quite good. It's got songs.
Thank you.
And it's got words and guitars and other instruments.
It's got all those things. I have something.
Give it to me, God.
Now, some of the stupid news stories that I've read out on series one of this podcast, because this is series two.
It is. Better than the first series.
Yeah.
We know what we're doing now.
Yes.
The characters have been established.
We've grown our beard.
Mm.
Some of the news stories that I think I've read out were quite time. One or two of them wouldn't have worked if I'd read them out like now.
Yeah. So what? To be honest, the bloody Pokemon one that we did, that one episode, that one very quickly went
out. Yes, it did.
Good lord.
This one I meant to deliver last series, and but it's an evergreen. I'll give you the headline for this. Woman quits her job to breastfeed her boyfriend every 2 hours.
Wow. Good lord. I was about to say, 2 hours? But that would assume that I was okay with the rest of the story. But 2 hours?
A woman has quit her job to breastfeed her 36-year-old bodybuilder boyfriend full-time, saying it creates a magical bond between them.
What?
Jennifer Mulford said she wanted to create an adult breastfeeding relationship and mentioned the idea to her former childhood sweetheart, Brad Leeson.
Former child.
She told The Sun it was like a light switch flicked in his head. I could tell from his voice that he was curious and excited, she said, before opening up about the first time the pair tried it.
I don't think one or the other of them really thought this through, I think.
I don't get it. At that moment, I knew I had a partner for life. We both wanted the same thing out of the relationship.
Huh.
A magical bond.
Titties and milk.
A magical bond that only breastfeeding can achieve.
With babies, yeah?
Yeah. She quit her job to dry breastfeed Brad.
Dry breastfeed?
Yeah.
So not breastfeeding at all, just sucking on nipples.
To fool her body into lactating.
Oh. So she... Oh.
She said, I've taken a break from my job because I want to devote everything to making this work. Brad, a bodybuilder, hopes to boost his body by their regular breastfeeding sessions.
Really? I don't know. I don't know what the protein is in boob milk.
No.
I don't know what it is in regular milk. I don't care. No. but there's easier ways, you know, to get the necessary...
I imagine it'd be quite awkward during a night out.
Yeah.
Every 2 hours.
Well, it's that bleak, that's Little Britain. Bitty.
Bitty.
No, bitty now, bitty later. But it's... Oh. I mean, I'm generally understanding and accepting of people's way of life.
Yes.
You know, I'm very much of the opinion that if you're not hurting anyone else with the way that you're going about your business, then go about it merrily.
Yes.
I don't care what I think. And for the record, I don't care.
No.
Just do it. But this is... Oh.
It's a bit weird.
Yeah.
I mean...
It's discomforting, because it's a mother and child thing.
Yes.
You know, it's that's the breastfeeding. Granted, adults can very easily enjoy the boobs.
Yes.
But the actual act of breastfeeding is very much, you know, it's for mother and child, not mother and beefcake.
No. I don't seem to remember anybody queuing up at dinner.
No.
Like the family.
Is it my turn? Yeah. No. Oh. Baby still hungry. But then again,
are we coming to you for Christmas? No.
But then again, remember, they did that breast milk ice cream. And they've done things like that. They definitely did breast milk ice cream. Who's they? I don't know. Look it up on the bloody internet. But some people did some breast milk ice cream where they took breast milk, processed it in the same way that you would any other milk to make ice cream with fruit or whatever in it.
Yeah.
And sold it. Probably at quite a markup. Because it's easier to convince a cow to give milk for ice cream than it is to some lactating woman, you know.
Yes.
You know, the cow probably isn't going to demand a wage for it. But when I heard about that, I thought, you know, it's not that bad. I'd probably give it a go if someone said, you know, do you want to try some breast milk ice cream?
Like, yes.
All right, yeah, give me a scoop and a bowl.
You'd feel really awkward licking it off a cone, wouldn't you?
There's things I'd feel more awkward licking it off, to be honest, but...
Rod Stewart.
Van Morrison.
Van Morrison.
Yeah.
The recurring character of Van Morrison.
Yes. But yeah, when I heard about that, I did think, yeah, I'll give it a go.
Going off on another slight tangent, but this does actually remind me of something that I was reading. Everyone was aghast on Twitter about this. This headline... Cockroach milk may be the next big thing. I just imagine some guy at a dairy farm with the TV going, I can't find the nipples!
Next year's headline is Cockroach takes time off work to breast
milk. Cockroach takes time out of nuclear winter.
I mean, it's a serious point to be made that, you know, there's an increasing number of people and not an increasing number of not amount of food.
Yes.
So if milking cockroaches is how we're going to sustain ourselves for future generations, then fine, you know, I'll have an earwig Sunday or whatever, you know, it's just, whatever you can get it out of. Again, I'll give it a go. Mine is a broad church accepting of various ideas.
Well, it's similar to the Tesco horse meat scandal.
Mm.
It wasn't so much the fact that it was horse meat, it was the fact it was masquerading as beef.
Yes, I don't like that. I don't like the masquerading.
That was the weird thing about that. I mean, yeah. Speaking as a man who's eaten an ostrich burger...
Ostrich is lovely. Mm. Delicious meat. Although I've never eaten horse, there are plenty of people who do. You know, our immediate neighbours over in France...
Yes.
They enjoy a bit of the horse meat from time to time.
Sounds like a euphemism.
They enjoy a bit of the horse meat, if you know what I mean. But yeah, it's not that weird. No. Like it's not weird at all to various people.
I do laugh, though, because at the time I had an ostrich burger, it was the Birmingham Christmas Market, and they had a great big stall in the middle of Birmingham, and it had a big letters across the top of it, Ostrich Burgers! So I'm in the queue, and there's somebody at the front of the queue who's being served by one of the people manning the stall, and I see this woman lean over and ask the member of staff. Member of staff answers back. This woman, Luke, stands up, looks to somebody behind the queue and go, "Now they only do ostrich!"
Brilliant.
Brilliant. And I'm pretty certain that the question would have been, "Do you do normal burgers as well?"
Can I get a Big Mac?
Oh, dear. But, yeah, in short, don't breastfeed your boyfriend.
No, especially not if it's a cockroach. That was absolutely the right place for a sting there, John.
It really was. Thank you very much. Yes. Judicious use of the sting button.
Yes. So, shall we discuss what this episode is going to be? What the actual main thrust of it is?
Yes.
Oh, right. I've forgotten.
You might remember back in episode 3, Mike and I did an album swap.
Yes.
Where we each recommended an album to one another to listen to. And then that was the only one we did.
Yeah. We kind of intended to do another, but I suppose the Rolling Stone Top 100 kind of...
The Rolling Stone Top 100 really did dominate, I think, the latter end of the season.
We got a lot of joy out of that. And some horror.
Some absolute horror. Again, you know, Van Morrison, not a recurring character, well, but he really fucking is.
Some glowering shadow over our enjoyment.
Yeah. In fact, something I reckon he'd set a time limit on doing would be the shopping.
Shopping?
Yeah. He gets to the end of 25 minutes and then just abandons the trolley if he hasn't finished.
Just ditch it somewhere in the frozen, someone else will put it away for him.
Or he'll get arrested because the time went off while he was in the middle of paying.
So he's just legging it across the car park with his Asda carrier. But do you think he goes to Asda? He's more of a Waitrose. Actually, he probably goes to Netto, doesn't he?
Yeah.
No judgment against people who do go to Netto. There's nothing wrong with it. But
Van Morrison shops there and you should be ashamed.
Yes! Netto should be ashamed.
Right. Having digressed again.
Yes.
The albums that we recommended to one another, I recommended an album called Both Ways Open Jaws by The Doe.
The Door.
Door. Yes. And...
And I recommended... A remarkably older album, in fact, a full, exact 40 years older than the one that John recommended. I recommended Noi by Noi.
Mm.
I could have said Noi's self-titled album, but I like to say Noi. So I like to say Noi by Noi. Noi by Northwest. Noi.
Noi. Ian Paisley's dead.
Noi!
Put some money in your death meter.
Just right. Which one should we talk about first, though? Because we've both listened to. I've listened to the one you gave to me.
Listened to the one you gave.
Very good, John. Yes. Very good.
Because I would be a terrible podcast host.
You would
if I didn't.
Yeah.
I was very nearly a very bad podcast host.
Well, you've had a lot on your plate, haven't you?
Yes. One thing and another.
With EPs and videos and such like.
Yes. Broken boilers.
Yeah. Well, so, should we do The Doe first?
Yes, do The Doe.
Yeah. With Betty Bo.
Betty Boo.
Really Boo. Yes, The Doe. Well, you introduced The Doe then, because it was your suggestion.
They are a band that I happened on almost by accident.
Mm.
There was a song by The Doe on Saints Row the Third, Queen.com.
Ah.
Which essentially is rap. And I thought, well, this is really interesting. And then I listened to various tracks off that album. And each track was completely different. So Queen.com is a completely unique song in the bed of that album. There's some very quirky bits of folk and pop and some hip hop styles in there, and there's all sorts of different things on that. And so when I picked up their last album on a fancy, and it just, again, it was a really interesting mix of styles. It's a little bit more even than the previous album, which is called A Mouthful. But yeah, it was a really interesting listen. There's some really solid songs on there, and there's one or two that I just thought you'd find quite amusing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, well, yes, I gave it a damn good listen to, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yay!
It's a really great album. Mm. What I find really interesting, I mean, I've deliberately done no research into this band.
Yes.
After you recommended it to, because last time around, I did a bit of research into Emmy the Great.
Yes.
And, because that was what we did last time, if you haven't listened to that episode.
Yes.
This is that album. And I found it in some way, it left me with certain preconceptions of the album before and while I was listening to it.
Yeah.
Whereas this time I was like, okay, I knew of the band. I'd seen their name on the listings for various festivals and such like. And
yeah.
It was always kind of interesting lineup, so I thought, okay, this may well be something I can quite enjoy, but I deliberately do no research.
Yes.
So the only things I knew were the name of the album, the name of the tracks, and the cover of the album.
Yes.
A cover of the album which features a man and a woman in a slightly peculiar setup. It's a bit of an odd, suggestive of a kind of an indie alt, maybe pop kind of feel.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is very much what it is. You know, it's that kind of vibe. But kind of as I was listening to it, I kind of got this feeling that there's all these pretty songs, and there's some really pretty songs going on.
Yeah.
But then there's some great moments of weirdness. Like a strange beat will come in, or maybe a bit of reverb will be put on someone's voice just for a moment.
It's really jarring, isn't it?
Yeah, it throws you out. So I kind of imagined, like, I imagined her in the studio with some friends, you know, some lovely kind of backup artists, maybe a harp player, maybe she's there at a keyboard or with a guitar. She's making all these pretty songs, and he is back in the shadows. Sat there, drumming his fingers together, going, good, good.
Making Starhawk things.
He just sat there on this throne that he's made out of vintage Moog synths, lashed together with broken guitar strings.
Flicking switches.
And he's just listening to this beautiful song going, yes, this is very pretty music.
I will deconstruct you.
Yeah, wouldn't it be a shame if someone were to play some weird shit all over it? But it's whatever the actual setup. Yeah, obviously, whatever the actual setup is, it really works.
Yes.
And there are some songs where it's just straight. Kind of. I mean, I don't know even where they. I get the idea. They're some kind of Scandinavian band.
I think they're a mix. I think they're one or two of the members are French. Some of the. I don't know. I haven't done a great deal of research on them as well.
I just got this vibe that they're maybe kind of Norwegian or Swedish or possibly Icelandic.
Yes.
That's how it sounded to me. Somewhere in, you know, maybe kind of Scandinavian territories. But really, just really, really great. So some of them are that kind of pop.
Yeah.
That's slightly ethereal, slightly wistful, very, very pretty and thoroughly enjoyable. And then others are that, but with madness.
Yeah.
Just weird stuff flung willy-nilly. But still very structured. Not quite as wild as some of the moments from the Off Montreal album.
Yes.
That we discussed on the first swap.
It's played a little straighter than that.
It's quite a bit straighter, because Off Montreal, certainly towards the latter end of the album, could be bonkers.
I think I think one of the differences between Of Montreal and this is that the quirkiness of Both Ways Open Jaws is on the sweeter end of the scale.
Yes. There's precious little bitterness, except for there are moments where it gets a little comparatively savage.
Yes.
But still, compared to some of the something like The Passage of the Grotesque Animal from the Of Montreal album, there's nothing like that. On Both Ways Open Jaws.
The song that I thought you'd like the most, and this is a guess, right, is Smash Them All, brackets, Night Visitors.
I seem to recall enjoying that one. The thing is, I enjoyed so many of the tracks, I didn't end up paying that much attention to the track titles.
Because it reminded me the most of Aberfeldy. Because it's about alien invaders, essentially.
I kind of remember that. But I'm ready to tell you what my favourite and least favourite tracks actually were, if you fancy. Because, one of the tracks I mentioned, the fact that they've got just the sweet sound, they were always going to be kind of my least favourite, simply because they were just good songs. There are no bad songs on that album. There's nothing on there that I thought, wow, I'd rather I hadn't listened to that. But I think Leo is probably my least favourite track. Because it's just nice.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with just nice. You know, there's some bands who can't even pull that off. So, congratulations for your worst thing being just a nice track. It's very prettily sung. It's very prettily orchestrated.
And there's a couple of other songs in a similar vein, but have a really savage undertone to the lyrics that totally change it.
Yes. I mean, something like Gonna Be Sick.
Yeah.
That's a great track.
Yes.
Because, again, it's quite pretty, but then it's got... Well, lyrically, it's a bit kind of... There's a certain insistence to some of the strings. What would you say is your least favourite before I go on to my favourite?
My least favourite? It could be Leo as well, actually. There's a lot that really stand out, but yeah, I think I'd agree with Leo.
It's just nice, isn't it?
Yeah,
but that's it.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Mm.
I kind of felt about that tune how I felt about most of Emmy the Great.
Yes.
Just, this is nice.
Yeah. Good.
I'm happy I'm listening to this.
Yeah.
But my favourite, and this has kind of become a bit of an arbitrary one, because so many of the tracks were brilliant. I almost just threw a dart at it. kind of shortlisted a few of the track numbers and then just decided to learn the name of one of them.
Yes.
I went with Bohemian Dancers.
Mm. I love Bohemian Dancers.
It's an absolute corker. Because it seems to be... I'm sure at some point it was a much more complex tune. Because the parts that she's singing and some of the little bits of additional orchestration seem to come from a different, more fulsome kind of folk number. And then there's just this Teutonic 4-4 boom, 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 beat to it.
There is something amazing. They're really good with their percussion on all of their songs.
Yes. It's
really, really good. Mm. So, and yeah, and it builds and builds and builds and builds.
Yeah, it just seems like this. It was a kind of a basic, solid 4-4 beat being haunted by the ghost of a dead folk song. I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
You'd love to hear that from like inception through to the finished product.
Yes, I can't remember this feeling that they made a song and then started stripping pieces off it.
Yeah,
and then to pare it down,
and then started maybe putting one or two of them back on afterwards.
Yeah, just kind of just chucked a few bits of, and the water sprinkle that cuts in every now and then.
Yeah.
Just to really screw with the rhythm of it, because it's completely against the main rhythm of the song. That's another nice thing. It reminds me like the lawnmower at the end of Fuck the Valley Fudge by Granddaddy.
Yes.
That's out of a tune, but irrelevant to this discussion.
I am all in favour of songs that include sound effects.
Mm.
Big fan of that.
So what would you say for your fave?
For my favourite, it's tricky, because...
That's by Run DMC.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, You'll Call Me Sunshine.
Damn, right. Well, I mean, I like the way that the instrumental BWOJ...
Bwodge.
...leads into Slippery Slope.
Yeah.
And Slippery Slope is one of those ones where the vocal effects really mess with you.
Yes, that Slippery Slope was a contender for one of my favourites as well.
I mean... I find it really hard to pick a favourite because
in fact, Slippery Slope the one that actually contains the eponymous line, both ways open jaws.
It is, yes.
Yes, 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 yes.
If I was going to pick a favourite, I would be torn between Gonna Be Sick, Too Insistent, and because the string part on that is gorgeous as well, Bohemian Dances and Slippery Slope. And that's a tough fight, to be honest.
They're all great, great songs. So actually, yeah. I would have happily gone for definitely Gonna Be Sick or Slippery Slope.
Yeah.
I could easily have picked those as favourites.
Yeah. But I'm probably going to have to... I think I'm probably with you on your favourite as well. Because there is just something about Bohemian Dances that is too lovely.
Mm. But also thrilling.
Yeah.
You know, because Leo Leo is lovely.
Yes.
Bohemian Dances is lovely and exciting.
Yeah.
So it's that next level up.
It's but like I say, not an easy choice, but I think I'm probably in agreement with you on both your choices there.
Cool. Well, there we go.
Yeah.
Well, shall we go on to discuss what I done give you?
Yes, right after this. So when they flipped him over, they had a look and it looked like a baby's face.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, hello.
Yes, we're going to talk about Noi by Noi.
Noi by Noi.
It was written in 1999 by Mr. Noi. It's a prominent album from the krautrock era. And I ended up listening to it fairly obsessively for a while, along with various other krautrock albums.
Yeah.
After reading the legendary Julian Cope book, Krautrock Sampler.
Yes.
Which I always start trying to call Kraut Mask Replica.
And the funny thing is,
thank you, Captain Beefheart.
When you say Krautrock Sampler, I immediately think of one of those bits of hand stitched.
Yes. I can actually imagine someone doing a noise sampler.
Yeah.
It'd be quite nice.
A
little bit of cross stitch.
Hang that on my wall.
Yeah. But yes, it's a very important album.
Yeah.
In the field of alternative rock.
Yes.
And as I was listening to it, with each track I identified various albums I absolutely love.
Yeah.
That were clearly influenced, if not... The bands either had listened to this album or had listened to someone who'd listened to this album.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere in the chain of influence, this album existed.
Yeah.
It's quite something else. I mean, bands such as... It's obvious in bands such as Yola Tengo or even Sigur Rós.
Yeah.
But in other bands, like... I can hear a bit in Under Noise by the Trail of Dead. And pretty much... Any group that has wielded a guitar in a slightly different manner to just making guitar pop or straight up rock and roll or punk or something else.
Yeah.
Someone who's made a slightly more considered sound, a bit more proggy, not necessarily prog.
Mm.
That guy who's slamming the door a lot, you know, he's probably listened to Noi as well.
He has, yeah.
It's an interesting time signature he's working with, but I think he needs a little bit more cymbal or cowbell at least.
Yeah, maybe he needs to speed up or slow the fuck down.
Or just close it slowly. Yeah, it's not a bad idea. But yes, Mr. Cope, obviously, was very excitable about this. I've actually got the extract. In his little listening notes at the back of the book.
He's hand-stitched.
He's hand-stitched. Krautrock sampler listening
notes. Put some money in your krautrock meter.
There it is. I've been waiting for the Geordie voice. Here he is. Yes, he's talking about the opening track, Hello Gallo, which is, I think it's about 11 minutes long. It's a continuous riff. There's no bass. There's precious little percussion. But there's just this one... propelling riff and then wailing guitar recorded backwards over the top.
Yes.
Which ends up sounding a lot like kind of like seagulls, as he makes the comparison himself here. And this is just he just says here that there's nothing to tell you where you are in this seamless corridor with no end. And which describes it perfectly. It's just this, if you start the songs halfway through, you couldn't tell exactly where you are. All you can do is give in to this fairly overwhelming sound. And it's not an album that you listen to just for a quick bit of funsies.
Yes.
You know, it's not... The tracks aren't really most of them you can't really just pluck out and listen to them on their own.
Yeah.
It's more putting aside the time to listen to the album in entirety is the best way to experience it. I also find listening to it on a train or similar kind of public transport is a fantastic way to absorb it, just as everything is literally washing past you.
Yes.
You could let the music do the same.
Yeah,
absolutely wonderful. But yeah, that's what I think of it. I bloody love it.
I've listened to the right one, haven't I?
Oh, good lord, there's a lot of tracks there.
Before I talk about what I thought of Noi, I'm going to make a recommendation to Spotify. Because what happened when I went into Spotify to listen to Noi is that the album Noi is listed as having 39 tracks.
Do you know how many tracks it has, John?
Less than that. It's six.
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 Six tracks.
So something went very, very wrong. I enjoyed listening to that. It was... I enjoyed what I listened to the other night as well, in fairness. It went very, very well whilst playing No Man's Sky. Yeah, it's really interesting because there are a lot of echoes of...
Very few bunny men, though.
Very few bunny men. Mm-hmm. No, it's just all echoes, none of the bunny men.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of sort of foreshadowing of acts that are going to, like you said earlier, that have listened to them or have been very influenced by them, or have been influenced by people who've been influenced by
them.
Yes.
It's long enough ago for there to be a certain amount of remove.
There's the grandchildren, if you like. musical grandchildren. Is that where you
get bomb trap?
Turn the music off and they'll have to stop moving.
Strange relationship with your grandparents. Shit, grandma's hurt.
Stop
moving.
It's halfway up the stairs.
What?
Where
are we going with this?
Yes,
there's a lot of acts. You can hear, listen to the album, a lot of the kind of alt genres.
Yes.
Pretty much anything that's used a guitar.
Yeah.
And can consider itself, you know, properly full-time old. The whole stoner rock movement is heavily influenced by that, the sound that they make, the repetition and the sheer expanse of it.
There was a few little echoes of Queens of the Stone Age that we caught in that while we were listening to it.
Very Caius-y as well, which of course then led to Queens of the Stone Age.
Well, there was one particular part that really called to mind Monsters in the Parasol.
That was while we were listening to track three, wasn't it? Weissensee.
Yes.
Or was it Im Gluck? It was either Weissensee or Im Gluck.
It was one of those.
Yeah.
And it's interesting as well. I mean, like I was saying earlier that I've been up filming a music video with Matt Tyra last weekend. And on the way back, he played to me some music by Public Service Broadcasting. Luckily, listening to that, as well as what I listened to the other night, it was very reminiscent of Public Service Broadcasting, or I should say Public Service Broadcasting is very reminiscent of Noi. Because it's got the same sort of really tight drums, and there's an element of repetition to it, but it's very driving music. That's the guitar and the drums take a really central role in that, as it does with this.
Mm. I guess that's the tricky thing as well, because repetition forms quite an important part of a lot of krautrock stuff.
Yeah,
a lot of it is very slow moving and repetitive, and obviously it's very easy for that to become horrendously tedious.
Yes.
But if it's done right, then it just captures you and drags you along with it.
Takes you with it.
I personally think that that Noi achieved that as a band, and Noi achieves that as an album.
Yes.
Admirably.
And their use of sound effects in the recording is very interesting as well.
Mm.
Because that sort of helps propagate the interest, I think.
And of course, this is right at the start of the '70s as well. So yeah. Some of the sound effects that they create would not have been easy for them to capture that. You know, this is all tape bending and arcane methods achieving sound.
I love the world of sound effects.
Mm. This is BBC Radiophonic Workshop style.
Yeah.
Stuff, you know.
And
this is the world of Delia Derbyshire.
Yeah.
And such geniuses of electronic sound effect making.
Yeah, I mean, and those boat sounds and the sound of like rummaging in water and all that sort.
Yes, you get that a couple of points in the album. Right at the end of Lieber Honig, there's quite an extended period of time that just very much sounds like a boat being rowed across open water and possibly into a cave or a tunnel of some kind. It gets more claustrophobic.
Yeah,
the sound becomes tighter and there's a definite echo.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that fascinating. I used to love borrowing sound effect cassettes from the library, and I'd copy them, and then I'd put whole sequences of sound effects together to make really silly little really just stupid sketches.
Sound stories, kind
of. Yeah.
That's so adorably dorky. I love it.
But I used to record over them, so I'd make sketches.
Ah.
And I had to do that. I did that for a college project. I made a 15-minute sketch show using all the sound effects and things. I love it. I really do love it. And it's nice. And it's nice when I hear an album utilising sounds in some sort of a way. Hmm. That's why I was really drawn to things like Lifted and Bright Eyes generally, because there's a similar use of sound there that. Hmm. Makes you imagine something so that your brain inadvertently creates some sort of context for the music that's about to happen over the sounds. It's, I get really drawn into things like that.
Mm.
Yeah, none of these observations I've made the other night.
It's always easy.
'Cause I listened to the wrong shitting thing.
It's so much easier to comment on an album when you've listened to the right album.
It is. Honestly, Spotify, go on Noi and just sort yourselves out, because that's a mess. Mm. And that's
actually, I'm pleased with how much Noi they have. I mean, they've got Noi, they've got Noi 2, they've got Noi 75.
Yeah,
and a load of other stuff which I'm not entirely convinced is actually Noi.
No.
if it is, then it's some slightly off-piste stuff.
Yes,
but Noi 2 and Noi 75 are also well worth a listen.
Yeah,
it's just that the original Noi. That's the one that grabbed me first, and the one that continues to grab me. It feels slightly unfair to ask you if you had a favourite.
Least favourite, I know.
Given that you've listened to 30 odd tracks, the majority of which were pointless for this endeavour.
For this particular endeavour, it's difficult. I think Hello Gallo was probably a favourite.
It's the most immediate, not least because it's the first track.
And it's quite nice that there's a very bare sort of reprise of it later on in the album.
Yes, when you're listening to Inglück, it feels, even if it's not exactly the same, it's got a similar feel to it.
Yeah.
Whilst being much simpler.
That kind of chord structure or melody is there. Mm. Of everything that I had listened to that was wrong, there was a track called ISI, or EC, I don't know how it's pronounced.
Mm-hmm. I think it's easy.
But that was a favourite, I seem to recall.
Which is from Noi 75.
Yeah. So that was on the wrong album, so that doesn't count. But it's a nice piece of work. Mm. It's,
So I agree that Hello Gallo is very much a standout. I'm also a big fan of the track Negative Land.
Yeah.
That the album as a whole is quite soothing. There's a moment in Sonderanggebot.
Mm-hmm.
I just love saying the word.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is that? I mean, that's very much cymbals being kind of bowed and stroked.
Ooh,
and played slightly backwards. But there's one bit where it just clashes into kind of a brief moment of what sounds like machine noise.
Yeah,
just wakes you up a bit. Whereas Negative Land just starts with the sound of pneumatic drills and then goes into this repetitive riff that kind of fades in and out of white noise. It'll come in for a bit and then it'll disappear behind this kind of screeching guitar and feedback.
Yes.
And then the riff will come back in at a different speed and it'll fade back out again under the feedback. It's very clever. It's
yeah,
fascinating song and I really enjoy that one. But Hello Gallo is the one I enjoy the most, the one I can just sit back and just soak up.
Yes.
I really adore that song.
Excellent.
And it's kind of difficult to really pick out a least favourite because for the most part all those tracks do just work together. But I suppose Freisensee is probably the one that would have the hardest time living on its own.
Yeah.
If I've, from Sondangebot to Im Gluck, those are the three that kind of need each other the most.
Yes.
And Freisensee is right in the middle of those three.
Yeah.
And so I think partly due to that, it just seems the least likely to live outside of the family unit.
Yes.
But it just works.
Yeah.
As a full piece.
Yeah, it's good. I'm glad you asked me to listen to it.
I'm glad you eventually listened to it.
I'm glad I eventually listened to it, yeah. But it's good to hear music that not many people may well have heard that has actually gone on to influence so much that people have heard.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Mm. I mean, you outside of the bearded... the prog bores and such like.
Yeah.
You don't meet a lot of people who've listened to Noi.
No.
And they should.
Mm.
I think if you've enjoyed a proper serious alt rock band, then you absolutely should listen to Noi and Faust and Amundul and early Tangerine Dream, things like that. Because these are all part of this great primordial ooze of alternative rock.
Yeah.
they all contain the building blocks of what will become the music that you enjoy. Mm. And it's interesting just to go back in time and check some of these out once in a while.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still languishing in the shock of having listened to the wrong stuff. But
I'm also pleased that we've once again come out of a CD recommendation enjoying each other's recommendations.
That's always nice to have happen.
Yeah.
It is.
It isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice to agree about good stuff than it is to agree about stuff that you actually hate.
Mm. We definitely came out of this one a lot better than Babylon Zoo.
Oh, yeah. We certainly did. You said he was a jazz man that became a successful film producer or something?
And distributor, yeah.
Right, okay.
He's done a lot of... distributed a lot of art house films and brought them through a wider... availability. He was responsible for bringing Holy Motors to this country, which I am delighted about because that film is so weird. So weird. I love it. It's just, it makes zero sense and is deeply creepy and wonderful. And it has Kylie Minogue as an air hostess.
Right.
A suicidal air hostess. Oh. Singing a song which... It's a beautiful, beautiful song. She gives it a real feeling of tenderness.
Mm.
It's a remarkable moment, and she speaks. She does a good job of acting in French as well.
Wow!
I was astonished by the skill and talent on show from Miss Minogue.
So
we've really taken a digression there.
That really helped.
That leading back to Jazz Man, who was responsible for his company was responsible for. Distributing that film.
I'm glad that he's found some sort of success outside in something that doesn't involve music.
Yeah. That's God bless him.
That's a real positive.
Thanks, Jazz.
Thaz. Niche. Is that too niche?
Not too niche.
No. Thanks for listening, everybody. You've been listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
Yes!
The music is by Attack of the Vapors, and the podcast is hosted by Audio Boo.
The Chinese food is from the Golden Wok. Rock! Yes!